Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. We give thanks to God for another wonderful time to meet at His presence. We want to thank the Lord especially for what the Lord did in our midst through our last week. Remember that throughout last week, we were in the presence of God throughout. And I want to believe that you've already started to have testimonies to share. By the grace of God, your mouth will tell the stories of the great and mighty things, awesome things that God has done in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that are yet to manifest, they will come into physical manifestation in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Because whenever the glory of God falls, there are visible, noticeable, undeniable proofs that God has come down. So there will be noticeable evidences in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So just relax your mind. You will soon see the manifestation in the mighty name of Jesus. Tonight, we continue as we trust God to conclude on the issue that God has started to raise with us last week about the glory-filled church. The glory-filled church. The man of God has led us through several things about this matter of the glory-filled church. We have looked at the definition or the explanation of the glory of God. And we looked at the prerequisites for bearing His glory. And for those of us that were around on Sunday, you recollect that the man of God led us through what He called the don'ts for glory carriers. That is certain things that glory carriers must take note of and avoid if the glory that has come to rest will be a permanent and lasting monument. So today, by the grace of God, we'll be considering biblical examples of glory carriers. Biblical examples of glory carriers. Can we pray together once more? Eternal Father, we thank You because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. We thank You because You have already incarnated in us, dwelling in us. Therefore, I pray that You will explain Yourself to each of us tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Let it be that as this word will be going forth, it will be You that will be speaking to each individual in the language and the clear accent that each of us will be able to comprehend You in the mighty name of Jesus. Such that by the end, we'll be rounding off this teaching tonight. We'll not only be talking about people who have carried the glory, but we ourselves will become glory carriers in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank You, Eternal Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Biblical examples of glory carriers. Don't forget that we are looking at the glory-filled church. By now, you should have been conversant with what the church is. That when we talk about the church, we are not talking about building. We are talking about people who have committed themselves to following Jesus. People who have pledged allegiance to Jesus. People who have made Jesus to be their Lord and their Savior. And we are talking about, so when we talk about glory-filled church, we are talking about glory-filled Christians, glory-filled disciples of Christ. So the church is made up of people, not just one individual. So when we are talking about glory-filled church, we are talking about you, me, and every other person that we are in the covenant together, experiencing, manifesting the glory of God. So the reason why we'll be looking at biblical examples of glory carriers is to let you know that it is a possibility for you to carry the glory of God. And as a matter of fact, it is the pleasure of our God to make his glory rest upon you. It is the desire of God. There is no other reason why he has called you other than to manifest, to display his glory in your life. You recollect in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible made us to understand the purpose of our calling is that we may show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his own marvelous light. So today, we'll look at some examples in the lesson here that you already have. We have about 7 examples. But I'm afraid whether we'll be able to cover all of them, because the issues that I'm sensing God to be raising from the lives of each of these individuals, I'm not sure we'll be able to finish them tonight. But it's good that you will be able to see what you need to notice. Because there are certain things that are common to all of them, even though they came to receive the glory of God via different circumstances. But the principles remain the same. So we'll be looking at these examples. How they received the glory. What they did with the glory. And the effects of the glory they received upon their lives and everything around them. Those are the things we'll be looking at this evening. Let's start with the first man. The first man and the first woman. Adam and Eve. And in doing that, we'll go back to the beginning of all the beginnings. Genesis number 2. Let's read from verse 7, and we'll now read verses 19 and 20. Genesis number 1, number 2, and verse 7, then verses 19 and 20. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. 19 to 20. Now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Maybe we should begin from that last statement. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Something got me curious when I read the 2 passages that we read. And what got me curious was how the man was formed or made by God, and how the wild animals, the birds, were made by God. I noticed that both creatures, the man, the animals, and the birds, They were formed by God. That's the first thing. The second thing I also noticed is that they were all formed from the dust of the earth. But there was something that made man to be different from other creatures. And that thing that differentiated man from the wild animals and the birds of the sky, in the sky, that little difference is what God, what gave the man edge over all other creatures. That made man to be the crown of all the creation. And what is it? The glory of God. After God had formed man out of the dust of the earth, the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then he became a living being. Are we saying that after the birds were made and the wild animals, they weren't living beings? You discover now that what the Bible is referring to as being living is not just being in existence. You may be in existence, but there may be nothing of value in your life. What will make you to maximize the purpose of your existence is this matter of the glory of God. And this glory will not come automatically. This glory is going to come by deliberate action that God is going to take upon you. And I discover from this passage of the scripture that before God will release his glory upon the man that he has created, that man must have gone through certain processes. You can't escape the process if you want to receive the glory. And what is the process? Let's go back to that verse 7 of chapter 2. It said, then the Lord God formed a man. The Lord God formed a man. Our operating word here is formed. The man that will receive the glory of God must be deliberately formed by God. You can't just emerge from nowhere and bear the glory of God. It is not possible. For a man to bear the glory of God, he must come out of God. God formed a man. The word formed revealed God as a potter that sat down and deliberately brought out his product. He had a mind. He had a purpose. He has an idea of what he was going to make. And he sat down. He sat down in his workshop. He formed man. He shaped man. He molded man into a form, especially as a potter. Before God will release his glory upon your life, you must be made of him. You must be formed of him. No wonder Jesus told Nicodemus, who came secretly, he also told him secretly that except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man is born of God. Except a man is made of God. No wonder anytime God is about to do something tangible with any life, he said, come, follow me. I will make you. You remember that was what he told Abraham? Say, I will make you. And when our Lord Jesus Christ also was interacting with those brothers, He said, I will make you. So they surrendered themselves. They yielded themselves to the control, to the lordship of God over their lives. They allowed God to sit upon their life in order to form, in order to shape, in order to mold them after his own will, so that they can bear his glory. He formed a man out of dust. Oh, this our God is so wonderful. Out of dust. What is dust? Out of dust, as powdered or gray, clay, earth, mud, ashes, mortar, or rubbish. Out of rubbish, out of ashes, he brought us something glorious. What does that suggest to you? Who you are currently is immaterial. What you are going through currently is inconsequential. If you will surrender yourself to God, if you will yield yourself to Jesus, out of the rubbish, out of the ashes, out of the clay, he will bring out something glorious. Adam and Eve, they were formed out of the dust. Out of the dust. I don't know your background, your family background, your educational background, whatever background you can talk of. What I hear God saying now is that your background is not what determines what you become, but what God will do to you if you will surrender yourself. And I discover from the book of 1 Corinthians number 1, beginning from verse 16, he said, consider your call, brethren. Let's see it. 1 Corinthians number 1 and from verse 16. It's very, very important for us to look at it. 1 Corinthians. From verse 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Consider who you are. Dust, ashes, rubbish, ordinary clay that God decided to put together. And I began to hear, I'm sensing within me, when God was doing what he was doing, the angelic host, they were telling God, what are you doing with this rubbish? He said, wait and see. What will you bring out of this clay, ordinary clay? He said, wait and see. For I know the thoughts I have towards these people, the thought of good and not of evil, to give them a hope and a future. Brothers, there's a future for you. Sister, there is a future for you. Maybe people have been asking you, Why are you so concerned about this Jesus? Tell them to wait. They will see. Did you hear what the Bible says? It said the entire creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Say, eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not come into the heart of any man what God is going to do with us. Beloved, please forget about all these rabbles, all this noise that we hear all about. Submit yourself to Jesus. Let him make you. Let him mold you. When he finishes what he's doing, it is then he's going to release his glory. And the moment the glory comes, the whole world, they will hear about you. You remember we read the other day from Ephesians number 3 about God's intention for his church. Ephesians number 3, verse 10. He said, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. The intent of God for you and I, for us as a people, is that through us, the principalities, the powers, the rulers, they will know that they are nobodies. We are the crown of God's creation. God has a purpose for our lives. But this purpose will not come to materialization except we have been formed. So when we keep on emphasizing discipleship for you, it's not because we want to have you sit down that we may just be teaching you the Bible all the time. No. It is because we know God has no other means for raising his agent of global transformation other than the process of forming, process of molding them. Except God has succeeded in molding you. Nothing tangible. Nothing of eternal consequence will come out of you. So I charge you today, do what Adam and Eve, what they did, they surrendered. They yielded themselves. They submitted themselves to the making process. They waited until God has formed them. So God formed them out of the dust. And it was after he had formed them and he saw that they were good, then he breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. And that was what made them to be different from the animals. The breath of life. The essence of God. What made God to be God? He released into them. You remember in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, and he blessed them. That is what we mean by blessing. He transferred into them what made him to be God. Because the man that he was forming is a man that will represent him here on earth, so that he will not need to be coming and becoming and becoming and becoming. And you remember Elijah? He said, Micaiah, go and tell Ahab, Elijah is here. Ah! Elijah is here. Elijah is here. That was a man who knew what he carried. That was a man who knew what God has deposited into his life. And you know, before he could say that Elijah is here, remember what he used to say before. Before God, whom I stand. He was a man that always stand before God. He waited on God till he was formed. He waited till God released into his nostrils the breath of life. No wonder Adam, God could not find any suitable helper for him among all the animals, even though they were made from the same material. But he carried something that the animals did not carry. And because of that, there could be nobody. There could be none of the animals. There could be none of the birds that could correspond, that could be found adaptable to Adam. So God has to take out of him. God took out of him to give him a helpmate. Do you also see why we said, if you want to marry, you must not marry an unbeliever? If you marry an unbeliever, you are marrying ordinary animal, ordinary image that does not carry the presence. I'm sorry. But did you see the word of God? That what differentiated Adam from the wild animals, they were wild. I love the Bible. The Bible never misses word. They were wild, but as wild as they were useless to what God wanted to do with Adam. You can imagine that life with all his that he would do like this, and every all other animals in the jungle, they will be cringing. Yet, lion was not adaptable to Adam because lion did not carry the glory of God. You are going to business and you are partnering with somebody that does not carry the glory of God, he will wreck you. No wonder the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. He said there is no relationship between light and darkness. Did you hear how God described an unbeliever? It's a darkness. And darkness always see light as a threat to it. And darkness wants to do everything to ensure that the light will not shine. Adam and Eve. So when God has done all that he has done, he now brought all the animals. He said, well, give name to them. He made Adam and Eve authority, ruler over all other things. It takes a man that carries the glory to rule on behalf of God. It takes a man that carries the presence of God to be in charge. Thank God for your degrees. Thank God for the office. Thank God for all the things that they have given. But if you do not carry the glory of God, they will make a mockery of your of whatever privilege you have. But when you carry the glory, forces of darkness will bow to you. So lion could not resist Adam. Tigers could not resist Adam. Cobra, as very, very notorious as he used to be, he couldn't resist Adam. He said, I give you the name Cobra, and that will be your name. God said, so be it. He said, what do you call this one? Oh, this one. Let's call it Tiger. Let's call this one Leopard. And God said, so be it. When you carry the glory of God, whatever you do, whatever you say, God backs you up. Do you think it was the pleasure of God not to make rain to fall upon the land that he chose and he graciously gave to the people that he graciously chose, the people of Israel? But because somebody has carried his glory, he said, except by my word, there shall be no rain. Because I'm standing before God. I'm representing God here. God said, so be it. And the man put the key. He locked up the heavens. And the man put the key. And God said, don't worry. You go to the brook at Sidon. There I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. That's a man that carried the glory of God. When you carry the glory of God, when there's scarcity in the land, you will enjoy abundance. Let's leave Adam. What about the man Moses? Maybe we just introduce ourselves to it because the time is already running. In Exodus 33, from verse 12, Moses was negotiating for something that God said it is difficult. But I'm glad the Bible did not say it is impossible. He only said it is difficult. You have asked for what? A hard thing. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people. But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name. And you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Then the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now. When? Now. Show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me, where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. We can see the passionate plea of Moses here. He wants to see the glory of God as expressed in his face or countenance. He was not asking for the display of God's power or the warmth of his presence. Rather, he hungered for something else, something more important than the power, even than the presence of God. He did not want to see God's face apart from his glory. In verse 11, Moses had seen the face of God literally because God spoke to him face to face. He has seen the face of God, the literal face of God, he has seen that. He had also seen the glory of God, but what? In a limited sense, in Exodus chapter 16, verse 10, in Exodus 24, 16 to 17, he has seen the glory of God, but he knew that what he saw was in a limited sense. He wanted to see the fullness of the glory of God. His utmost desire was to have an intimate knowledge of God himself. Intimate knowledge. Not only to be exposed to the divine light. Yes, there is side of the supernatural light. But supernatural light without the supernatural glory is limited. He wanted to be enraptured by the fullness of the persons of God. That is, his character and his nature. Don't forget in verse 2, he had received the promise. He has refused God's promises. Say, I will go with you. I will send angels. I will do whatever. He has received all of that. In verse 14, he has seen God's power and he has been granted God's presence. But Moses was not yet satisfied. So ultimately, Moses wanted God's person. The only reality that will ever evoke a lasting sense of wonder and fulfill with lasting satisfaction. Say, show me your glory. I want your person. I want to be enraptured. I want to be enveloped. I want to be saturated with the awesomeness of your being. And you know the consequence. Beginning from that moment, everything about Moses changed. No wonder. Ordinary shepherd. Powerful nations could not stand him. Terrible situations and circumstances could not stand him. No wonder he was able to lead such. I mean, you remember how terrible the people of Israel were. Very obstinate. Very, very stubborn. These are people that, except they see the manifestation of the power of God, they will not believe that God was in their midst. And one man for 40 years was able to lead those people. And you know, he led them. There was never a time he collected any offering from them. Rather, he was the one feeding them, providing 2 meals for them in a day. The only time offering was collected was when it was designated for the purpose of constructing the tabernacle. Beloved, let's do what Moses do. Be passionate about the glory of God. Do not be satisfied with the promises of God that I will send angel, I will do this. Let it be your plea that, Lord, I want to see your glory. If it was possible for Moses in the Old Testament to see the glory of God, it is much more possible now for you to see the glory of God. That was what distinguished him. No wonder in Psalm 103, verse 7, that testimony was born concerning him. That in that entire generation, only Moses, God showed him his ways. All that he showed the entire generation, the other people, was his deeds. They never knew where those mighty deeds were coming from. Only Moses knew the secret of God. In the time of lack, in the time of famine, in the time of terrible situations, only Moses knew the way of escape. He was walking at par with God. God has come down to his life. But as I'm rounding off, permit me to tell you that one thing that the glory will do to you when it finally comes is that it will make you to be God on earth. You become the solution to every issues, to every issue. You become the answer to every question. But then, you must be very, very weary of touching the glory of God. Because there will be a tendency that will now begin to come to you that what else can you not do? Don't become self-dependent. Don't become self-sufficient. When Moses became self-dependent, he touched the glory. He said, shall we not be able to bring you water out of this rock? Shall we? So himself and God, they have become equal. Even when God has equated himself with you, please never equate yourself with God. Let him be God. Follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. He said, my Father is always at work, and the Son also work. But the Son cannot do anything except what he sees the Father's doing. The glory should make you to be more dependent on God. And when you do that, you will last. You will last in the hand of God. You will last in the purpose of God. And the hand of the Lord will come to be upon you. Will you bow your head at this time? Even though our time is gone, but I want you to talk to God. Show me your glory.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485. 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.